Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're really glad you could join us for this special Deep Dive segment. Now, this comes to you from the podcast AI Unraveled, which, as you might know, is created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada. Please do remember to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled for, even more great insights into AI. So here on the Deep Dive, what we try to do is pretty straightforward. We take a whole stack of sources, articles, research, our own notes, and we pull out the most important bits, the key knowledge, the insights. Think of it as maybe your shortcut to being really well informed. We try to pack in surprising facts, maybe a little humor too. Today, we are jumping into a really fascinating mix of AI innovations and their impacts, all happening on just one day, June 18th, 2025. It's pretty incredible how fast AI is changing things, isn't it? Across so many areas.
It really is. And looking at just this one day, this snapshot, it vividly shows that dual nature of AI development. You see these groundbreaking scientific uses that could genuinely change lives, alongside, well, some significant ethical questions and pretty complex business dilemmas popping up all at the same time.
Right. So as we go through all this today, the big question for you listening in is, what does this actually mean for you? How is AI really changing our daily lives, maybe in ways we don't even see yet? Okay, let's kick things off. There's a development out of China that's frankly startling. AI avatars are now outselling human hosts in live stream commerce.
Outselling humans, wow.
Yeah, I mean, picture this. Two AI-generated hosts. They promoted 133 products in just one session. And they're using like human-like gestures, even handling real-time interactions with viewers. It's not just a picture, it's dynamic.
So it's interactive AI avatars doing live sales pitches.
Exactly. And the numbers. They're quite something. One of these streams, 13 million viewers. It actually beat a stream led by a human from just the month before in only 26 minutes.
26 minutes, okay. That's fast.
And get this, Baidu's AI, Ernie, wrote over 97,000 characters of product descriptions just for this event. Baidu called it the first dual digital avatar stream. Natural conversation, realistic movements. The wider impact is just staggering. Reports say over 100,000 of these digital humans are now working in China's live commerce sector. That's a sector worth nearly $1 trillion.
100,000.
Yeah. And they're apparently slashing costs by 80% and boosting transactions by, on average, 62%.
Okay, so the efficiency gains are massive. But what's really fascinating, I think, is how this forces us to rethink influence and authenticity, in this digital economy. Are we just commodifying human charisma here, or is this something new, like a scalable synthetic connection?
That's a great question. Synthetic connection.
It's got immediate implications, right, for influencer marketing, obviously, but also for whole creator economies that are based on human labor.
That's a powerful point. If AI can do these jobs at such scale, what happens to the human workforce?
Exactly. And it's not just influencers, right? We're already seeing these broader workforce trends. Look at Amazon. Their CEO, Andy Jassy, he's confirmed AI will shrink their workforce. It's happening now because of efficiency gains, automation, and logistics in retail. It's not theoretical.
No, it's definitely not theoretical. That trajectory is, well, it's undeniable. It really drives home how quickly we all need new skills, the ability to adapt. It's becoming absolutely essential. And that's precisely why resources that help you navigate all this are so important. Actually, speaking of skills, if you are looking to get certified in AI, maybe boost your career in this fast-moving field, I really do recommend checking out Etienne Newman's AI certification prep books. He's got guides covering Azure AI Engineer Associate, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, the AWS Certified AI Practitioner Study Guide, Azure AI Fundamentals, and Google Machine Learning Certification too. Really comprehensive. You can find them all over at djmgatetech.com. And don't worry, we'll put all the links right in the show notes for you. Easy to find. Okay, shifting gears a bit now. Let's move from commerce to the really high-stakes world of government contracts and the big industry players. Let's talk OpenAI. They just landed a huge $200 million Pentagon contract. This is actually their official debut as a Pentagon contractor. Work's going to be centered in Washington, D.C.
200 million. That's significant.
Yeah.
That really signals a major step, doesn't it? What exactly does the contract involve?
Well, the details mention ChatGPT Enterprise being used for admin tasks,
Yeah.
things like helping service members navigate benefits, that sort of thing. But, and this is crucial, it also involves custom models designed for proactive cyber defense.
Cyber defense. Okay.
Yeah. And this new deal, it actually rolls up existing partnerships they had with places like NASA, NIH, the Air Force Research Lab, even the Treasury, it's all under one banner now. OpenAI for government.
So consolidating their government work.
Exactly. Now, OpenAI says they'll stick to their usage policies, but the contract language itself mentions developing prototype frontier AI for warfighting and enterprise.
Warfighting. That's strong language.
It is. It clearly signals an expanding government reliance on AI for, you know, strategic operations. And it definitely raises those vital questions about how these powerful AIs will actually be used, what the oversight looks like.
Absolutely. It signifies this growing embrace of AI at the very highest levels of government, which, yes, brings a really complex set of ethical considerations, transparency issues, things that really demand scrutiny.
Definitely. And speaking of powerful players and strategic moves,
here's
where it gets really interesting. The tension between Microsoft and OpenAI.
Ah, yes, the partnership. That seems complicated these days.
Complicated is putting it mildly. Negotiations have apparently hit month 8. And sources are saying OpenAI is actually thinking about what they're calling a nuclear option.
Which is?
Filing federal antitrust complaints against Microsoft, their biggest partner, their biggest investor.
Wow. Antitrust. Against their main backer. What's driving that level of conflict?
Well, the core issue seems to be OpenAI's plan to buy a coding startup called Windsurf for about $3 billion.
Okay.
The problem is Windsurf competes directly with Microsoft's own GitHub Copilot.
Direct competition.
Right. And OpenAI wants to block Microsoft from getting access to Windsurf's IP, its tech. But Microsoft's $13 billion investment usually gives them access to all OpenAI tech, including anything they acquire. So you can see the clash.
Yeah, that's a major sticking point. Microsoft wants access to what they helped fund.
Exactly. And there's more pressure, too. OpenAI has this deadline, end of 2025, to restructure as a public benefit corporation or risk losing billions in SoftBank funding. They're also apparently trying to renegotiate Microsoft's financial stake, wanting them to accept a lower equity percentage, waive future profit rights, and cut Microsoft's revenue share from OpenAI's earnings. They already ended Microsoft's cloud exclusivity, remember?
Right, that exclusivity change was big news. So they're really pushing back hard on the terms of the partnership.
Seems like it, and the relationship itself. Apparently, Satya Nadella and Sam Altman used to text daily now, scheduled weekly calls only. It's a pretty clear sign of just how intense this competition, this AI arms race, has become.
It truly is an arms race playing out right there. And while Microsoft and OpenAI are figuring out their complex relationship, Google isn't standing still. They just announced the general availability, the GA, of their Gemini 2.5 family of models.
Oh, right. Gemini 2.5. What's new there?
Well, the 2.5 Pro and Flash models are now fully available, out of preview. Pro's been topping leaderboards, apparently. But maybe the bigger news is Flashlight. It's a new lightweight version, just launched in preview.
Flashlight. So smaller, faster.
Exactly. Designed for mobile, for embedded systems. But here's a kicker. It's apparently beating their previous light models on performance while still having that massive 1 million token context window.
A million tokens on a late model. That's impressive. So what's the significance of that, putting powerful AI into smaller devices?
It's huge. Mm-hmm. It means putting really capable AI into much lower resource environments. Think smartphones, maybe even smaller gadgets. It dramatically broadens access and adoption, gets AI out there into more hands, more applications. And of course, it ramps up the competition, especially for that enterprise dominance everyone's chasing. It's about getting AI everywhere.
Everywhere indeed. And it's not just the tech giants battling it out. The investors are making massive bets. Over the last year alone, something like $52.4 billion poured into generative AI companies. That's more than the total invested from 2022 all the way to mid-2024 combined.
$52 billion in 1 year.
Yeah. And the average deal size jumped from around $96 million to $372 million. Big money. We're seeing SoftBank and Thrive Capital emerge as top investors now, pouring in over $20 billion recently into companies like OpenAI, Anysphere, Isomorphic Labs.
It's not like everyone's getting funded equally, right?
Yeah.
There seems to be a split.
Definitely. There's a clear market bifurcation, as they say. The top tier teams, the ones with really strong tech, they're attracting huge amounts of capital at higher and higher valuations. You know, OpenAI, Anthropic, SSI, XAI.
Right, the perceived leaders.
But many others. They're finding it much tougher. There's market saturation, maybe some investor fatigue setting in for the less proven ventures.
So investors are doubling down on who they think the long-term winners will be. It signals that they believe these foundational shifts are still early, but they're getting way more selective. It's a real land grab for the most promising players.
That land grab is certainly making waves. And, you know, keeping up with these industry trends, the technical advances, it's absolutely crucial if you're working in AI or want to get into the field. Which actually reminds me, I wanted to mention Etienne Newman's toolkit again. It's called the AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit. It's packed with practical stuff, AI tutorials, PDFs, audio, videos, plus those AI and machine learning certification guides, really designed to help you start building with AI.
Sounds useful for getting hands-on.
Yeah, exactly. We'll make sure the link for the toolkit is in the show notes too, along with the cert prep books and everything else. Okay, let's pivot now. Let's talk about the social and ethical ripples from all this AI development, starting with something really important. Data ownership, privacy, Mastodon, you know, the decentralized social platform, they just made a pretty bold move.
Oh, what did they do?
They've explicitly banned AI companies from scraping their content for training models. They're making a stand for, like, human expression and data rights.
That is significant, taking a stand against the data harvesting.
Yeah. Being decentralized helps, I guess. They updated their terms, flat out prohibiting using content for AI training, emphasizing user consent, content ownership.
That's interesting. So they joined folks like Reddit, Stack Overflow, who've also tried to limit AI training on their data.
Exactly.
It sets a precedent, doesn't it? Especially for smaller platforms, maybe pushing back against this sort of commercial AI harvesting when users haven't explicitly agreed. It definitely fuels that whole debate over digital ownership. Who controls our data online?
It really does. And speaking of privacy and control, how does that Mastodon stance compare to, say, what Meta's doing with Meta AI?
Oh, well, that's almost the opposite approach, isn't it? It's a stark contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Meta AI's disclaimers now clearly state that your private conversations might be used for training their AI or for safety audits.
Private conversations used for training.
Yes, unless you specifically go in and opt out.
Wow. So the default is they can use it.
That seems to be the case. And it obviously sparks huge questions about digital privacy, about informed consent. Is clicking agree on terms and conditions really informed consent for that? It puts all the burden on the user to dig through settings and opt out rather than the platform getting permission up front.
It certainly does. And there's another layer of concern emerging too, kind of related to data access. We're seeing reports that AI bots are essentially breaking into digital libraries, archives, museums.
Graping in.
Oh. Automated crawlers, scrapers are just overwhelming the servers of these cultural institutions. Sometimes they hit them so hard, the online collections go offline for actual human users.
So denial of service caused by AI scrapers.
Pretty much. And what's maybe more worrying is that many of these bots are reportedly just ignoring the robots.txt file.
Right.
You know, the standard protocol that tells bots what they shouldn't access.
Right. Ignoring the standard do not enter signs of the web. That raises immediate legal, ethical questions, doesn't it? About using cultural data, copyright, fair access. It's not just about server load. It's about respecting intellectual property, the integrity of our shared cultural heritage online.
Absolutely.
It's sort of related to how we access information. There's a new poll showing people are increasingly turning to AI bots like ChatGPT or Gemini for their daily news, especially younger people, tech-savvy folks.
Getting news from chatbots, what are the implications there?
Well, it's potentially massive. It threatens traditional journalism models, which are already, let's be honest, struggling. And it really amplifies worries about bias, about misinformation spreading even faster, and about how these AI platforms handle content moderation, if at all.
Yeah, if AI is the filter.
Exactly. If AI becomes the main way people get news, how do we ensure accuracy? Impartiality. It puts an even bigger burden on individuals to think critically about the information they're getting, maybe more than ever before.
That's a sobering thought. Okay, well, let's try and end our deep dive today on a more positive and hopeful note. There's incredible potential for AI to do good, too. Like this work from scientists at the University of British Columbia, they're using AI combined with 3D Bito printing to tackle male infertility.
Oh, wow.
By actually replicating testicular tissue. It's really groundbreaking stuff that could potentially restore fertility for many individuals.
That is amazing. That's a huge leap forward, potentially, in reproductive medicine.
Why?
Precision bioengineering tackling really complex human health issues. It shows that potential of AI when combined with other tech to really improve quality of life. A profound example.
It really is. And sticking with health for a moment, there's also this fascinating research out of National Taiwan University. They're focusing on teaching AI to care.
Teaching AI empathy.
Sort of. specifically with medical chatbots. You know, when patients contact a doctor, especially with scary symptoms, they aren't just after facts. They're often anxious, scared, looking for reassurance.
Right. The human element is crucial in healthcare.
Exactly. So these researchers, they took real doctor-patient chats and they rewrote them. They specifically added patient messages expressing fear, anxiety, maybe distrust. Then they carefully crafted doctor responses that weren't just medically accurate, but also aimed to provide emotional comfort.
Okay, so building empathy into the training data.
Precisely. They fine-tuned llama models using this data, and they found a method called direct preference optimization, which basically trains the AI by learning directly from human feedback on which responses are better worked best.
And the result?
Pretty striking. The models trained on this emotional data consistently did better than standard chatbots. They gave empathetic responses like, "It's completely understandable to feel concerned," right alongside the medical advice.
That's genuinely interesting. It highlights a big gap, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That need for empathy in medical AI. But it also sounds like a really meaningful step forward.
Yeah.
Building patient trust, improving safety, integrating AI into healthcare support in a way that feels, well, more human and compassionate. It's about acknowledging that human element.
Absolutely. And, you know, beyond these big headlines, June 18th was just packed with other stuff, too. Minimax debuted Hailuo 2, a new AI video model. Kriya AI launched its Kriya 1 image model in a free public beta.
Oh, yeah.
Intelligent Internet updated their AI medical model, apparently surpassing Google's Medgema, even though it's smaller. And Adobe, they released new mobile apps for Firefly, bringing those AI creative tools straight to your phone.
The pace is just relentless every single day.
It really is. What an incredible snapshot today's deep dive gave us, right? Just one day's news showing the sheer breadth, the depth of AI's impact. From completely changing commerce to shaping national defense strategies, sparking these huge ethical debates about privacy, and then offering these profound breakthroughs in medicine, it just hammers home that AI isn't some future thing anymore. It's here. It's a powerful force actively reshaping our world right now.
Indeed. And maybe a final thought to leave people with. If AI's influence is spreading this wide, this fast, what fundamental parts of our society, things like genuine human connection or our ability to think critically, what do we need to actively protect and cultivate as we navigate this landscape? It's a question for all of us, I think.
That is a powerful thought to mull over. And we really hope you continue your own learning journey into AI.
Before we wrap up, just one last reminder. If you are serious about navigating this AI world, boosting your career, definitely check out A.N. Newman's AI Cert Prep Books. We mentioned them earlier, Azure, Google Cloud, AWS Fundamentals, all at djmgettech.com. And also, don't forget Etienne's Toolkit, the AI Unraveled Builders Toolkit. It's got those tutorials, guides, everything to help you actually start building with AI. Seriously practical stuff. All the links, as promised, are in our show notes. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We really hope you gained some valuable insights, feel a bit more informed about this AI revolution happening around us. And please remember to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled for more insights coming your way.